The Waddle and Sylvie podcast is brought to you by DraftKings, a Casino Queen sportsbook. Use our promo code WMVP. That's WMVP. Must be 21 years or older, Illinois only.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
We've been all over the NFL playoffs. The Super Bowl is set. Chiefs looking to repeat against Tom Brady and the Bucks, who will play in their home building. The first time that that has ever happened. A team in their home building for the Super Bowl. And this is a team that hasn't played a home playoff game this year. Now they have home field advantage. And there will be fans. What, I think I read 23,000, something like that. And I think 7,500 of them will be vaccinated healthcare workers.
That's what I'd seen. I hadn't seen the 23,000 number. That's a lot of people.
It is, but it's also Florida. That's what I read before the weekend, that that's what they were planning.
That's like the epilogue on a lot of stories. Ah, it's also Florida.
But it's Florida.
Yeah, it's Florida.
So we'll get to all that, and I want to get into some Bears quarterback conversation with another quarterback who has been there, done that, who could be available. First, it is back, though. We've done this for many years, Connor, on the Waddle and Sylvie Show. And Connor McKnight, who is new to ESPN 1000, not new to your ears. He's been doing radio in this town for many, many years. He is going to be hosting White Sox pre- and post-game. He is going to also be doing play-by-play when Len goes to the television booth with Benetti and to fill in with Jason as well. Remember, this is your new home for the White Sox, and we've got White Sox Weekly already up and running, right?
We were
on over the weekend.
Yeah, and actually, if folks are interested, with the passing of Hank Aaron last week, I reached out to the Sox and had seen a story about Jim Thome having the chance to escort Hank Aaron up to the stage for the 2019 Hall of Fame induction ceremony, and Jim had kind of related what that meant to him. So I was like, well, Jim probably ought to come on White Sox Weekly and talk a little bit about Hank Aaron. So I had Jim on the show Saturday morning. You can go find it on the ESPN 1000 app. I did nothing. The interview was fantastic. Jim,
he's the best, isn't he?
Jim is incredible. Jim talking about Hank Aaron is incredible. And, you know, we remembered the importance of the man, his status, Hank Aaron's status as an American hero and legend. Obviously, we talked about a lot of that. We also talked about his swing and what he was able to do to the baseball. And Jim he's just breaking it down. If you have ever thought, oh, Hank Aaron seemed like a pretty cool guy to learn more about, go listen to the interview. Jim Thome was fantastic.
Yeah, and like Connor was mentioning, it's on the ESPN Chicago app. If you've not downloaded this thing yet, it is so easy to use. You want White Sox Weekly, you want the Thome interview talking about Hank Aaron, you hit one button to go to the podcast page, bam, you're right there. And you click on that. You want Waddle and Sylvie on demand? Bam, you're right there. Subscribe, listen live. It's the easiest way to listen live as well. Shout out also to a new way to listen on the Twitch stream. A lot of people in there today. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. But there are now more ways than ever. Easily, technology. We evolve. Evolve or die. That's what we do here at ESPN 1000. And I got to rip our station here in a second. Or sort of. I need something. So anyway, this is the first time, Connor, that you've been a part of this. It is the Waddle and Sylvie Sparrow Square competition. There is not one person who is listening today who has never been in a squares competition. I think if you're a sports fan, you've at least been in one of these. You go to a Super Bowl party, you have buddies. There are 100 squares across the grid. Numbers 0 through 9 going horizontally, 0 through 9 going vertically. Number represents the team for Kansas City, the other for Tampa. And if those numbers hit at the end of the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, or at the end of the game, you're a winner. Our entry fee is free. The only way you get it is by entering free when you're caller 20 starting tomorrow when you hear this sounder. Black, do we have that right now?
I don't have a square to spare. I can't spare a square.
From the old Seinfeld about sparing a square. So we have 100 squares to spare. If you get a square when they're all filled before the Super Bowl, we will put this up on Instagram so you will know what your numbers are. Here's what's at stake. In the first quarter, the winner will get a $50 gift card to Hooters. If you are the winner at halftime, you will get a two-night weekend ski package to Crystal Mountain in Thompson, Michigan. Two nights lodging, open to close, lift tickets. It's absolutely awesome. And now, like, that is one activity. Skiing now, especially when you are so limited on things you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like golf in the summer. Like, it's a great time to ski now. Third quarter winner, $50 gift card to Hooters. And the end of game winner will get a 70-inch brand new Samsung 4K HD TV, courtesy of our great friends at Apt. Been shopping at Apt since they were in Morton Grove in a little storefront. And those guys are absolutely awesome. So check out Apt, and we appreciate them with the 70-inch TV. It's got all the key features that you want. And again, starting tomorrow, make sure you're with us tomorrow. We need 100 winners. So we're going to be going starting tomorrow all the way through the Friday before the Super Bowl. And anytime you hear that, could be during a commercial, it could be in the middle of an interview, and could be in the middle of a thought, and Black could hit it, and you need to be caller 20 at that time.
Not for nothing, but Waddle and Sylvie listeners probably want me in this squares competition. You should just, because I've played every, I have never, ever won in squares. So if you put me in there, that's, I'm just taking up the one that's not going to hit. You know what I'm saying? I'm improving the chances.
You think so? But I mean, you're also taking away one from another listener,
I'm
and you wouldn't
you,
win anyway.
I'll never win at squares. It won't happen. It hasn't happened in 15 years. It ain't going to happen this year. I'll help everybody out.
I don't know if Black and Abdallah were ever treated this way. I think it was just me with the love-hate Yurko has for me.
Uh-huh.
Yurko, when his kids were young enough and they were in travel hockey, they used to. Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah.
He would corner me in that first Midwest Bank studio. Sylvie, give me some of your money. My kids have a square pool going on for hockey. Give me 100. And okay, sure. It was just like being back in grammar school with the guy taking your lunch money.
He'd walk into the office and be like, I got you guys each in for two squares. You owe me $50.
Yeah.
What? Who
already?
Who said yes to this? Yeah, no, I already put you down. Here are your squares.
That's how in other places I've worked, that's how it goes with Girl Scout cookies. You would think that it's just like the Girl Scout cookies.
But at least
everybody
you get something guaranteed.
It's the Girl Scouts. You're
How do
fine.
I know this isn't a scam?
It's a shakedown. I mean, it's a literal shakedown with this stuff.
The pressure of the Girl Scout cookie with that thing going around. Ah.
How many boxes I put you down for? 24?
Yeah. Huh? Like, what's right? And then you want to stay healthy, but you do like them. And you like the person you bought from somebody else.
Of course.
Now they're bringing in the list.
And now, you know, you mentioned technology. Now you can't tell them, I just don't have cash. I'll bring it tomorrow. But tomorrow's Saturday and you're not going to see them, so you get away with it. Then they got the app now.
Sure. And Connor, with Yurko, you can still get away with
it. He doesn't have an
app.
He's
a paper guy.
He doesn't have the quip or whatever it is that you slide through.
He's not a direct deposit type of dude.
All right. I'm gonna keep kicking him down the road a little bit.
Yurko does not get his check direct deposited. He doesn't believe in that sort of stuff. He believes that they're after him.
The one on the 15th goes under the mattress, and the one on the 30th goes to the guy. Like, that's how that works.
He needs to go to the bank. He needs to literally cash his check.
He has to see some brick and mortar, and he has to get the money in hand.
I get it.
All right, now can I bring this up? I heard something shocking this morning on Cap and Jonathan Hood.
Oh, God, I'd forgotten about it.
Hey, by the way, I do have the Joker, Joaquin Phoenix's laugh from the Joker
some point. That's what I was thinking, right? Yeah.
Well, I just play Cap. That's Kaplan.
Oh, no, that was Joaquin Phoenix.
No, you're wrong. No, try this one.
Oh, man. Cap. That's Joaquin Phoenix.
No, last one, Cap.
Boy, it's spot on.
Is that eerie?
Yeah. Who's that now? Is that still Joaquin Phoenix?
That's Cap.
No, that wasn't.
That's just
confused.
That's Cesar Romero. That's who that is.
I loved Joaquin Phoenix as the Joker. I didn't love the movie.
I hated the movie.
You hated it?
Yeah, I hated the movie. And I'm a comic book guy. Like, I grew up reading comic. I am. I grew up a nerd and really like comics and everything. And I don't know, just the movie did it wrong for me. I didn't need to see that story. But you're right, man. He was electric. You couldn't take your eyes off him.
Now, Dark Knight is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah,
and I'm not a comic book guy, but it was the total package of Heath Ledger being great and it being a great movie.
Performances up and down, plot, story, all the kind of stuff. It had like the usual Nolan things that are like, well, really? Are we believing this? And you're like, yeah, go on. It's a great story with great actors and everybody's doing a great job. Like, yeah, of course, it's fine.
I love that movie. I could watch that in any time. Good. So anyway, on Cap and Hoodie today, they were talking about the snow coming, and boy, you can't avoid it. Like, and now that we don't get as much snow, and I hope that continues, like, every event is so big. Like, oh my gosh, we're getting all this snow today. Sound the alarms. And so everyone's talking about it, and Cap was advertising that this is going to be the really heavy snow, too, the heart attack snow. And then Hoodie told everyone that he's shoveling his own snow. I need right now, Mike Thomas, I need a good karma to pay for a service for Jonathan Hood. He's never been more important to the radio station. At this juncture, not that we ever could have lost Hoodie, we can't afford to, like, you heard that video that he just did over the Packers losing. I can't lose Jonathan Hood on my radio right now and go back to the days of just Cap Solo.
Do we have an intern that can go out? Do we still have a program where we can send people out to shovel?
I think that's why it got canceled originally, Connor.
That makes some sense. Yeah,
have a neighborhood kid over by Jonathan Hood that just walks around and does it?
Hoodie, do not shovel your own snow. You are too important to the radio station. What is wrong with you? Good karma. You guys need to get a snow removal service for Hoodie. He cannot be shoveling his own heavy snow tonight.
What if we all chipped in for a snow throw? You know, something he could use. Something he could get out there, walk it around, you know, kind of feel like he's owned it. He's done it, but also it's not as taxing as the shovel.
I think we should get a service. He's probably doing the morning show now, for goodness sake.
You seen the cost of snowblowers these days? Come on, man.
Are they cheaper or are they more expensive?
No, well, it depends on, you know, how many blades you want.
They get you into a snow throw for $200-$300. Don't worry about
it. Yeah, probably.
Don't worry about it.
They got them on Amazon now. This one's only $140. Okay, I stand corrected. This isn't a Chicago snowblower, though. You're not getting anything.
No cup holders on that one.
There were two things that when I was 14 that I promised myself, no matter how much money I made or how poor I was, that I was going to put money off to the side for two things. And it was for raking leaves and it was for shoveling snow. I would never have to do anything. My dad was a tyrant with me bagging those damn leaves. And I said, you will never rake a leaf when you're an adult. And the same damn thing with the shovel. And we can't lose Hoodie right now, guys. We cannot. He's never been more important. We cannot let that lunatic on by himself again in the morning, laughing like the Joker.
It's unsafe.
Please. Can we start a GoFundMe for someone to remove Jonathan Hood's snow? He can't shovel it. All right. Well, I want to talk about Matthew Stafford to the Bears. Yay or nay, coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, so there's going to be lots of quarterbacks moving addresses, maybe even Aaron Rodgers, something that we discussed a little bit earlier and we'll get to. But as we zero in on our Bears, as Connor McKnight fills in for Waddle, 332-3776, Matt Stafford's name came up over the weekend,
mm-hmm.
as it was mutually agreed to that they would find him a new home. He is done in Detroit, as they're starting over once again. And it's now knowing that, hey, they are going to trade him, so they lose a little leverage there. But maybe two or three teams, because there are so many teams who could look at him, like in Indianapolis, as a stopgap again, just like they did with Phillip Rivers, to grab him. So then I ask you guys, Matt Stafford to the Bears, yay or nay?
I'm 100% in for that. I'm absolutely 100% in for that. Matt Stafford can win you football games. Matt Stafford is still talented. Matt Stafford can still rack up points. Matt Stafford can still rack up yards. He'll make mistakes. But are you going to tell me that Matt Stafford wouldn't immediately be the best quarterback the Bears have ever had? I mean, I know Jay Cutler was here. I know the numbers he put up. I know the ceiling that was there. Give me Matt Stafford. Bring me Matt Stafford. Absolutely.
Black Abdallah, how do you guys vote?
I think that he'd be a huge upgrade, obviously. I don't know. I heard Yurko saying he doesn't want anything to do with Stafford. But I don't see how you could not want any potential upgrade. Like, a contract aside and that kind of, because you have to figure out all the money and that kind of stuff.
Right.
But I don't see, the rumored price is a first-round pick. So would you draft Matt Stafford with your 20th overall pick?
Yeah, send a story, move
yes.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's
yes!
your, that's yeah. the, that's essentially what you're doing.
But you have to, and you have to pair it with the alternative. Spend the first round pick on Matthew Stafford or roll the dice again with Foles and Trubisky.
Well, or you draft
who are you drafting 20
Jones,
in this draft when you know, come on, he ain't going to last. Well, okay. Maybe Mac Jones last you till 20. Maybe. This draft, you're going to see all those dudes go early. They're not going to be around for you. I mean, and if the Texans trade Deshaun Watson, they're going to get that pick back, I would imagine, and use that on whatever other quarterback is in that list, right? Their third-round draft pick that they traded to Miami because Bill O'Brien was trying to kill Deshaun Watson for the better part of 3 years?
Yeah, right.
That whole draft pick.
So then I'm on an island here. I wouldn't mind Matt Stafford in a Bears uniform. I am not paying a first-round pick. I am not paying a first-round pick for a 33-year-old injury-prone quarterback. I'm not doing it because now all of a sudden you're hamstringing your organization. Where's the forever quarterback coming from? The wheels need to be spinning there. I'm giving up my picks for an in-the-prime Deshaun Watson, and if the price comes down on Stafford, I'm back at the table negotiating, but I'm not inheriting Stafford's contract and giving up a first-round pick at 33 where he's had a history of back injuries.
Sure.
And he can go at any time. That's me.
I understand. Listen, I mean, Deshaun Watson, if I had my druthers to just rip Rick Hahn, if I had my druthers, Deshaun Watson is my dude. But if you're telling me that Matt Stafford is my only way, my quickest way to get better, Sylvie, wouldn't you think that, you know, a GM and a head coach that are kind of in a win-or-go-home situation would rather have that guy for a year with the defense that's supposed to still be good if you can get anything out of Robert Quinn? Hello?
You guys are right in it's an upgrade. It's definitely an upgrade. How much of an upgrade? How available is he going to be? We've already been through this with Trubisky and especially with Foles. Is he going to be there for big games? Can he play 16 games with that offensive line at 33 years old? If it's not top-tier draft capital, I'm in for it. Can you get him for a third? I'm in for it. I don't think you – but, like, this – I'm not giving up pick 20 for Stafford, where I'd rather trade up and try to find one of these other quarterbacks. Now, I don't have a lot of faith in Ryan Pace doing that, so maybe it's lose-lose. But I'm surprised by you guys wanting to give up the 20th pick for a guy who's been hurt.
We know that in this league, you win with a top-tier quarterback.
For sure.
You know, I mean, it's done deal. And if the closest you can get, and I think it is. I mean, if you look at realistic expectations for the Bears for 2021, if the closest you can get to elite quarterback is Matthew Stafford for the 20th overall pick in the draft, I think you'd do it.
Sylvie, I think where I assume that they should do it is based on where they're drafting in the first round. If the Bears had a top 10 pick, I would say you should probably draft one of those players that you can get in the top 10. He will not equate to Matthew Stafford. I think when you get to 20, though, Stafford's going to be better than whoever you draft at that spot to begin with.
Is he? Are you sure he's going to be available? Are you sure he's going to be healthy?
Well, I think that if you look at it like Chris said, you're not getting one of the top guys. And I'm sure Trey Lance is going to be gone. Zach Wilson is going to be gone. Mac Jones is probably going to be gone. So you're looking at the second tier. I mean, not even the second tier, like the third tier of quarterbacks, which is like Kyle Trask, Sam Ehlinger, Ian Book.
Hard
like,
pass.
Yeah, I don't want
you
any
could
of,
get a right tackle there.
You could.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm confused on the health thing, though.
Why?
What do you mean?
He broke his back.
Yeah, but look at his career. He's played 16 games. How many times in his career? And including the last 5 years, he's what, four or five?
It's never been safer to play quarterback.
Yeah, right.
I mean,
exactly.
It's still like, dangerous. Don't get me wrong. Like, it still hurts, but it's never been safer to play quarterback.
He played 16 games this season.
Did he? I thought he sat out the lad. Didn't he sit out the last couple of games?
He played 16 games in 2020. He played eight games last year. He played 16 in 2018. I mean, he played 16 in 2017. He played 16 in 2016. He played 16 in 2015. He played 16 in 2014.
He's always banged up, though. He's always
no
banged
up. I mean, he's always playing.
His back was broken.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I'm just saying, like, to say he's completely injury-prone, I don't know if that's entirely correct.
Yeah, after he broke his back in 19 and he played eight games, and then what am I forgetting then at the end of this year? I thought they kept him out of his last.
No, again, they were going to, and he wanted to play.
Oh, he demanded to play.
Well, he said that if he's cleared to play, he's going to play. So he was clear.
Yeah, he's a gamer.
He's
That's
tough
gamer.
As hell. He's tough as hell. Tough as hell. I just, again, are you patchworking this thing? Is he, what do you hope to get out of Matt Stafford? You expect to get 3 years out of him? You expect to get four? What are you hoping for?
Listen, the Indianapolis Colts rolled the dice on Phillip Rivers for 1 year. Now, I understand that that's not the same. You know, you're not talking about trading pick number 20 to get Phillip Rivers for the 2020 season. I know it's not apples to apples.
They signed him, right? Was he a sign?
Yeah, just signed. And that, you know, cash just is cash. So I understand it's not the same thing, but in theory, go get the quarterback you know can make plays, you know can run the offense.
So he's got 3 years left on his deal. He is a $33 million cap hit next year, $26 million the year after that, and then only $3 million in 2023. He's an unrestricted free agent in 2023.
But doesn't the question then become what kind of dead cap money are the Lions responsible for should they trade him, depending on the contract? Because the Bears, I mean, there are ways around taking that $33 million cap hit. The Bears got around working a $20 million cap hit into something like, what was it, nine for Foles or something?
Yeah, but that was a newly minted deal, wasn't
you're right.
it?
No, you're
and
right.
they could
you're
spread the bonus
right.
money. So,
absolutely
like,
right.
I think it's pay as you go now for Stafford. I can be talked into this. I don't love paying 30-plus million and a first-round pick for Matt Stafford right now. I just don't. I think there are better solutions out there.
Why? I mean, it's weird because I think there's a way, because they're the Bears, to think two things about this. If you are a football team poised to go ahead and maybe win 12 games with a better quarterback like Matt Stafford, you do it. Do I trust Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy giving up the draft capital you just talked about and spending $33 million cap-wise on Matt Stafford? Do I trust them to go do the right thing with that guy? No, I don't.
Like if Matt, let me ask you this, Black. If Matt Stafford was a free agent, okay? Free agent right now. They released him. How much would you sign him for?
And what? So the top guys are getting what? $45 million a year? 40
right.
around there?
Right,
Russell
right.
Wilson,
Dak
Patrick
wants,
Mahomes.
Right. Dak wants 35, 40, right.
Yeah, I would pay him around that.
See, I
like
don't think
33 to 34 mil.
I think if he was a free agent, Stafford, I don't think he would sniff 33 mil.
I think if you could get him on the contract he has right now, he's a bargain for what he does.
Yeah, I don't want to touch that. I think if he was free right now and Matt Stafford was free to negotiate, he'd be lucky to get $20 million.
Rivers got 13 at age 39.
What did Brady even get? I don't even think Brady got $30 million with the cap going down. It's a really tough market, and to cut out 30 some million for a quarterback again who broke his back in 2019 and has been banged up.
Close to 28. Let's just call it 28.
All right, so around 30.
So, well, I mean, that's $5 million less, right, for the GOAT, who took his team to the Super Bowl.
He's 43, too. Like, the Buccaneers are taking, like, yes, you go get Tom Brady under all circumstances, and you roll those dice, especially when you're Tampa Bay. But the risk they took on a 40-plus-year-old dude really shouldn't be understated. Stafford's 33. Drew Brees played until he was, you know, whatever, and still was okay. And
you can make the argument that there's at least seven more good years in Stafford.
And hell, if there's three, you're set.
Yeah.
If he makes it again, Black, there's a lot of miles, like you said. Like, yes, he's played then 16 in some, but he's always banged up. And those guys don't last. And I'm buyer beware on Stafford from both the compensation and from the trade. A first round pick. 332-3776 if you want to weigh in. The good, the bad, the dirty coming up next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
The good.
It's gone! Oh my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
Wow. So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
It's the good, the bad, the dirty, and it's brought to you by White Claw Hard Seltzer, crafted using seltzer water, 5% alcohol, and a hint of natural fruit, available in 8 all-natural fruit flavors, low-carb, gluten-free, and only 100 calories. White Claw Hard Seltzer, made pure. Please drink responsibly. Waddle's on vacation. Connor McKnight's in with us with Black and Abdallah. We'll go around the room, one thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty to recap the weekend. Sports or otherwise. Connor, you want me to start? Are you ready to go with your good?
Lead off, man. Be Kenny Lofton here.
I was texting with Pat Boyle about this, and he wasn't into Cobra Kai Season 3. And 2 weeks ago when I mentioned Cobra Kai Season 3 after the first two seasons, I was like, oh, this is just okay so far after the first episode or two. I tweeted about this over the weekend. I finished episode 10 of season 3. That's the season finale.
Okay.
Cobra Kai could not have finished stronger. The last three or four episodes were awesome. It is brilliant. And some of the retro stuff going back to the movie on who they brought back and the storylines and the music, it just pulled on my heartstrings. I've said the Black and Abdallah in the past, it's got a good heart. This show has a good heart. I loved Cobra Kai, and that was my good. Even with all the good football, I'm still going Cobra Kai, the Waddle lookalike in Johnny Lawrence.
No, and see, so I haven't seen any of Cobra Kai yet, but it's not because I don't want to. It's only because it's that show I haven't started. You know, everybody like, oh, you got to watch this. You'll love this. Oh, if you like this, you got to watch that. It's just the next show I haven't watched yet is all.
Sure. But were you a Karate Kid guy? You love that movie?
It was one of those movies where I first saw where I was staying home sick from school, right? Like I was faking it and I had watched A Price is Right. And what else did I zip through? Probably like a Battlestar Galactica rerun because that's what was on. And then Karate Kid's on in the afternoon. And I'm like, okay, well, the pizza doesn't get here until,
when you were sick.
So, yeah, when I was real sick, right? When I was faking sick from school. You know, I would get the pizza, the Italian sausage, the pepperoni. I'd get that delivered. And then I would, you know, I'd find a movie in the afternoon. That's how I watched Karate Kid the first time around. So I'm not super into it, but yeah, I love the whole idea of it.
Yeah, I think you have to be if you don't love Karate Kid, you may not get why we like Cobra Kai.
Didn't that show start as like just a YouTube short?
A YouTube show.
Unbelievable success.
The whole first season was on YouTube, and not many people knew about it. I watched it because I'm a big Karate Kid guy. So much of it just reminds me of my childhood. And then once Netflix bought it and loved it and it did well and they renewed it, it's just really gained steam and it's really good. Really good. What's your good?
Yeah, so I was reading this. It's from the Wall Street Journal. Anheuser-Busch will not devote a Super Bowl commercial to the flagship Budweiser beer brand this year for the first time since 1983. They're pledging to redirect the spending for that airtime to marketing campaigns related to COVID-19 vaccines instead. Budweiser is going to commit $1 million of ad inventory to vaccine awareness and education, all through the Ad Council. They're going to make public service campaigns. It's a collaborative, the whole coalition, the whole darn thing. And I think that's great. Everybody knows, like, there are some brands you love seeing the commercials for at the Super Bowl, right?
Yes.
And you're like, oh, I can't wait to see what they come up with. And you know Budweiser's always going to have a good one. And Doritos is always, you know what I'm saying? Like,
always,
you know,
Doritos.
There's going to be some absolute stone cold winners in there. But I also know the brand. You know, I am not a 30-second commercial away of anything to change my buying habits necessarily. Doing something like this is, to me, really cool and very good.
And they're going to get their money's worth now.
Of course
too.
They are.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course
that's really
they
good.
Are.
Abdallah, what's your good?
Oh, guys, you know me. Puck Dalla was locked in on two games against the rival Red Wings, and there is nothing better than Pius Suter not getting his first, not only getting his second, but his third career goals in the same game. His first career goal, his first career hat trick, all in the same game, in the second of two wins against the rival Red Wings.
You
early,
and
an early
your
morning,
first child will be named Pius, won't it?
Yeah. Maybe. We'll see. Depends on the pronunciation, whether it's Pius or Pius. Chris?
All right, here we go, guys. I think
Puck Dalla.
Puck Dalla. Blue line, black Puck Dalla. Here we go. I was going to take the Hawks and their two wins over the Red Wings over the weekend, but Abdallah stole that from me.
You guys should hockey fight about it.
Yeah, maybe we'll drop the gloves and go at it. Here we go, guys. I think this is good. Shout out to Jim Nantz. Basically, trying to get it done yesterday, trying to walk his partner into a interesting story for all to get something from this broadcast. Let's go to CBS. Here's Jim Nantz and Tony Romo.
So, Tony, tell me about this gathering last year at the Super Bowl at the Versace Mansion, as you see the little bobble here. When you were in the company of Sam Darnold, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Josh Allen, and you started talking technique.
Well, I'm always talking technique.
I'm talking on throwing technique.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, guys want to learn anything. I want to learn, and you talk football, and you talk about mechanics and everything, and Josh Allen loves talking that stuff, so we just talk about it a little bit, but he's a kid who loves football, and wants to get better and improve, and I like that.
Insightful. Wow, we really got a lot there. And, you know, it was so good that shout out my good again to Jim Nantz because he doubled back because Nantz knew there is a great story here. We need to share this on the national broadcast. This is the one when you do your game notes and you have that little gem that's in the game notes and you're like, this is something I have to work into the broadcast. If you've ever called a game in any sport, you know you've got a little something in the back pocket. We got Nantz thought the Versace Mansion story with Romo was it. He doubled down. Let's see what Romo gives us.
Allen says that you've made a profound difference in his throwing motion.
I didn't do anything. He just likes getting better. I tell you, though, you see Sneed right there gets him. That's what Mahomes did in the first half, Jim.
I don't know. I didn't
do anything. He doesn't want to tell a story.
All right, cool. You were at the Versace Mansion. Apparently, it was a fantastic story that was shared when you met with Josh Allen previously before the AFC Championship game. Tony Romo, too cool to share it because he's such a great broadcaster. That's
maybe
my good.
Maybe he's guessing all the time because he can't tell a story. It's incredible. All right, what do you got for, or this is my bad then. I couldn't believe when I turned on Saturday's game, knowing I knew that the Bulls were on back-to-back, and I knew that it was going to be tough, and I knew that they had some injuries. But when I saw that Felicio on the floor, if it wasn't bad enough that the Bulls were down double digits early, Felicio.
Got to pay extra.
Yeah. No. Felicio, I did not mince words there. I did not say that. I am talking about the $32 million man, the John Paxson. I believe the Felicio contract is probably the worst contract in Chicago sports. It's not even close to being the highest paid, but to give him $32 million and the return on that is absolutely insane. It's his last year. And if it wasn't bad enough that the Bulls were down 30, I had to watch Felicio play. That was my bad Saturday night Bulls action with Felicio on the floor.
I would watch like the Bulls TV one day with Cristiano Felicio episode. I'd watch like how he gets up in the morning, how he makes his gold-plated coffee.
That's cool. I don't want him on the basketball
court.
How he
drives to practice in what I'm sure is a very expensive car. You know, the places he eats out at night, all that kind of stuff.
He does have very expensive things. I've seen him, like, out in the wild. He has very expensive things.
I want to watch as he really, as he gets this really, you know, look of concern on his face and decides which Rolex to put on to go to the morning shoot around where he will not be shooting around.
It's what bank robbers do. They flaunt their money after they steal it.
The pink Cadillac that he buys, he has to take back.
I don't blame him, though.
No, of course not.
The Garpax, I can't believe that Garpax gave him that money. Him. What's your bad?
This is a tweet that I saw from Mark Potash, who I love. Mark's not the bad here. It's just
Potsy's
what he's tweeting
crazy.
About.
I love Potsy.
I love his kind of crazy. He tweets this, and then we can be done with this. I will say it now, and then for the next 2 weeks, we don't have to think about it. We can just let this kind of fester in our hearts. Here's what Potsy writes. In 2012, the Bears hired Phil Emery over Jason Licht, who is now the Bucks GM. In 2013, the Bears hired Mark Trestman over Bruce Arians, now the Bucks head coach.
It's crazy.
In 2017, the Bears drafted Mitch Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes, now the Chiefs quarterback. The theme, I don't know if you've missed this. I don't know if I wouldn't land on the breadcrumbs well enough for you. The theme is that all of those people who aren't here with the Bears are in the Super Bowl. And the people that the Bears hired aren't playing for the Bears anymore. That's the theme.
It's unbelievable, but yet the people who have made those decisions to hire those people and not hire the other people are still making the Bears' decisions.
You know, I should fact check that. I think you're right, though.
What do you guys got for your bad?
My bad? Let's rewind to a great question and answer from a press conference this weekend with Coach K.
Hi, Coach. I'm just curious as to what the next step forward here is for the team as you guys move into another week of basketball.
Yeah, why don't we just evaluate this game? You know, I'm not into what our next step forward is right now. We just finished the hard-fought game. Yeah, I don't know if, like, what's your major? What's your major at Duke? What's your hardest class?
Econ.
Okay. So say you just had the toughest econ test in the world, and when you walked out, somebody asked you, what's your next step? You see what I mean? Do you have some empathy? And you know, just give us time to evaluate this game, and then we'll figure out, just like we always try to do.
That's literally how school works. That's literally school. You go in, you take a test, you finish the test, and you start learning
test.
The next thing.
And then you go to
your next final.
That's
right.
You go get hammered.
That is school. Oh, he's the worst. I know he apologized, but
it's
whatever.
It's cringeworthy.
It is. It's awful. This kid's
I don't
a
think
student.
He's the worst, but he's a closet bully.
I mean,
and I've got a story for you with him as well.
I'm Coach K. And, you know, Sylvie, my bad is also Coach K because that was just stupid.
He apologized, but, though?
He did apologize. Supposedly, he called the kid and apologized
after the social media backlash.
So we figure that he probably had a way about making the apology all about himself.
Probably,
right?
Yes. Okay. I'm Coach Kane. This is Duke.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
When I apologize.
What did you do in school,
you
young boy?
The lesson I was
young
trying
boy.
To teach
what
you.
Did you do in school?
He acts like it's he doesn't Duke. Get paid to coach Duke.
Duke.
I thought he was going to say your major, bitch. Tell us your major. Say your name. Tell us. I mean, it was it was so cringeworthy.
I want names.
Say
I want student IDs. You will never be
I'm
in the
Coach K. Say my name.
All right, we'll get to our dirties. I've got to share. I've been the subject to the Coach K scolding way back in the day. That's coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
All right, we're in the middle of the good, the bad, the dirty. We'll get to our dirties here in a minute. We were talking about Coach K. Take it back to March 18th, 1993. Senior at Southern Illinois University, Mark Silverman, covering the Salukis in the first-round matchup against Duke. My Salukis got beat 105-70 in the first round. And it was a who's who in that All-State Arena building. There were all the anchors that I looked up to that I wanted to get into business with. There was a young Mike Greenberg working for the station down the dial as their young sports reporter. I wanted to be them. So I stood up to the microphone and I asked Coach K some stupid ass question. And Coach K, sure enough, responded by saying, "Son, that's a question that my wife would normally ask me." And everybody laughed at me, and then he moved on to the next question. So I feel that kid's pain. I've been there before. He's been scolding student media reporters for years and years and years.
You just came up in the wrong age. You know, I mean, like 10 years later, and everybody has, you know, finally flipped on Coach K and realized that he is kind of like the internet bully that he is.
Do you remember the question? What was the question?
It was some stupid. It wasn't a great question. So, look, it did make me think more about, hey, like, instead of just asking a question, make it a question that, you know, I wanted to ask Coach K a question. I probably came up with something stupid, but it was an embarrassing moment. I was 20, 21 years old, wanted to get into the business, and I'm still scarred to this day.
Well, I'm glad you haven't let it affect you anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like we're doing
that. I remembered it and bringing it up 30 years
later. What's your name?
In drive time.
What's your name?
What's your major?
Sylvie?
What's your name? What's your hardest class? I don't have a hard class at Southern.
It's Duke, Sylvie.
It's Duke. Pick one. Everything's hard. I suck at all of the studies. I'm bad.
My dirty is Madison LaCroix from Southern Charm thinking she could pick a fight with Cuddy and Kristen. Forget it. Move on, all right?
Pick a fight.
She's
got receipts.
Of course she does.
This is all
Madison
reality.
And Austin have all been running a game. The Southern Charm group trying to run a game on the Cavaliers.
She needs to worry about her own kid and her own past relationships and not get in the middle of Kristen and Jay. That text chain was BS. This is all set up for like a reality show thing, but she needs to stay away from Cuddy.
I'm going to be really clear. I don't know what the hell we're talking about.
So here's the deal. Madison's a hairdresser, and she's on Southern Charm because she was dating Austin.
Wait.
Austin is a character on Southern Charm on Bravo.
What is Southern Charm is what now?
Oh, it's a privileged reality television show of folks that live in the South.
Okay. All right. So I should get into this,
Austin is a cast member, and he was dating Madison, and she's a hairdresser.
Uh-huh.
He broke up with her.
What a jerk.
He was seen in tabloids with Kristen Cavallari.
No.
So Jay made Madison, his move.
No.
Madison went after Jay.
Well, I mean, sure.
But basically, it's her trying to hold on to 15 Minutes of Fame because she's not actually a part of the cast. She's just trying to keep her name in the mix.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's
who, Kristen or Madison?
Madison.
Well, that's why she's my dirty.
I'll let you in on a secret, Connor. They're not charming.
None of it.
We're up against the clock. Boys, what are your dirties?
Here's my dirty. The Major League Baseball is apparently still looking into expansion. I was told this was a wild card kind of situation. The cities, Portland, Charlotte, Montreal, and Vegas. And I want one in Portland.
Yes.
Just so that they can be the Portland hipsters.
And because your hat,
wearing. Yeah, well, no, I mean, I feel like they should wear.
The beanie you're currently wearing. They will wear beanies. They weren't going to wear actually new era caps.
They should wear beanies. And they should have, like, wallet chains while they play. Maybe chains under their gloves, something like that. I need a team in Portland badly. That's all I'm saying.
My dirty guys, if you haven't seen it, there's one thing that we can... Listen, a lot of stuff has happened the last few weeks. Politics, the pandemic. We can all agree that the greatest thing that is going to unite us all is going to be Godzilla versus Kong. The trailer for Godzilla versus Kong is one of the greatest things I've ever seen this year so far, and it's going to bring us all together.
They never live up to the hype, though.
It's going
to
be Kong. Come on,
that trailer is like. What if we did a movie without plot? What if we tried?
They got to fight
the monsters and
Godzilla versus Kong. They're natural rivals.
The last Godzilla movie was awesome.
They're natural. It's an ape and a lizard.
That's what they tell you, though. They tell you the history. Yeah. They're natural rivals. Their species fought each other, and they're the last two surviving members.
Until
how
something
could you
else
beat
comes.
Someone who breathes fire, though.
Oh, he's got it. He's got like a. Just watch the trailer. Uses, Sylvie. I don't want to let any secrets
he
out.
He uses tools. You know why? Because he has thumbs.
That's true. Wrap us up, guys.
My dirty is going to be with the fact that, Sylvie, you even knew that the Southern Charm angle with this whole Cutler Cavallari thing was going down. That's my dirty. Shout out to you.
Oh, you know me. Look, my wife watches all these, but I don't watch them with it. With
Southern
her.
Charm is so annoying.
But it got my attention
Such
with the Cuddy post.
Show.
Yeah. The only one I'll watch is Below Deck.
Below Deck's good. I'm with you. I'm Below Deck.
I got into Below Deck.
Below Deck's pretty catchy.
Yeah,
I get so much crap for talking about The Bachelor, and you guys go off for 10 minutes about this.
All right, let's end it then. Let's talk some football. We'll do that in 2 short minutes. What a weekend.